Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are, and I am Michael Sterling.
You are.
I think.
I think I am. You're a very attractive man.
I am.
You're a very attractive man. Yes. I don't mean to out myself right here on the radio, but I'm all a tither. I'm sitting here beside myself.
Well,
yes.
And that's hard to do.
It's a magical day. Yeah. Mark this day. It's the day I proclaimed my love for Michael Sterling.
Speaking of Mark, we have a Mark in the room.
Yes, we do.
He's pretty attractive.
Mark Gray is with us.
He's going to be sitting in for you.
He's going to be sitting in for me. He's going to be the stunt mouth on this show.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
The wise ass, as I saw you. The wise ass. Another wise ass.
The accredited wise ass.
That's right.
He actually teaches wise ass at the UCLA Extension.
Oh, they have that course
now. He does, yes. They do. They do.
Oh, it's so good of him to bring it to
a school
of refinement like that.
I am. Thank our sponsor.
We should do that. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California, and we are grateful to them for lending their support to our live arts calendar. Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Do you like scary movies?
Actually, I do.
Do you?
Yes,
do. Well,
do.
Then you're at a perfect show. You're at a perfect show.
Well, it sounds to me, Paul, like someone is killing off the drama club of Vera Miles High School. Everyone is a suspect, and you decide who the killer is. Combining a slasher movie plot with a rock and roll score, pop culture humor, and an homage to classic horror film cliches, Scary Musical the Musical has all the elements of your favorite scary movies. With an added twist, the teenagers sing and dance before, during, and sometimes after getting killed. The setting is the quiet coastal village of Hidden Secrets, USA, on the night before the opening of the Vera Miles High School Drama Department's production of Scary Musical the Musical. A brutal double murder takes place. We soon learn that a crazy mental patient has escaped from the Hidden Secrets Psychiatric Hospital, and all musical hell is about to break loose.
The cast of Scary Musical the Musical features Jennifer Bennett as Tina Louise, August Emerson as Norman Hates, Frank Othello Andrus Jr. as Freddie Lucier, I'm going to guess, Lee Golden as Carrie Beige, Matthew Tyler as Mr. McGuffin, Jane Papa George as Jamie Lee Lee, and two cast members who are in studio with us today playing Lisa Courtney Fox and Jason Craven. Please welcome Candy Milo and Keir Kierkegaard. They are here today, and I'm looking for my applause button. And
there you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you?
Welcome, guys.
Very good.
Thank you so much for joining both of us. Good to have you on the air.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Did Paul say your name correctly, Kierkegaard?
Yes, perfect.
Kierkegaard.
Very common last name.
Yes, I studied philosophy. I know how to say Kierkegaard.
Well, you've had a few moments here on the show.
I've had a few drinks.
I was going to say, I heard I had a few.
Say it again, Michael. Say it again, would you?
You've had a few.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes, we have.
Yeah.
I just did the rib shot thing.
It's always working.
Really?
So before we speak to these lovely two guests that we have, Michael, how was your week?
It was good, actually. Filled with a lot of coverage of theater, other theater in town, Valley Performing Arts Center. The beautiful facility that 1,700 seat theater at Northridge, Cal State.
It's gorgeous
Northridge.
Up there.
Oh, that's
unbelievable!
Great.
This theater, so beautiful.
The Valley's answer to the Disney Concert Hall. I always
sort
say.
Of kind of four stories high. It's beautiful.
Wow!
And went to see something that was very simple. An afternoon called Broadway's Greatest Hits, brought in from New York by Todd Ellison.
Oh.
Who is musical director of many Broadway shows.
That's
12
great.
Broadway shows. And special guest, Miss Jane Lynch.
Oh, wow.
Oh, how fun.
Well, yeah, I suppose it was.
Was it not for you? That was a big pregnant pause there.
I'll tell you what. The idea of doing this was a fantastic idea. I mean, it's lovely. Todd is a very classy man and plays beautifully, by the way, and brought his... his kind of a troupe from New York, if you will, Kate Schindel, Clea Blackhurst, Mike McGowan, and Jose Lana. And they were terrific. I didn't really know them because they're New York performers, not out here in Los Angeles. And that Jane was a special guest. She was an add-on. And, you know, Todd had done Annie. Right. With her. He had conducted the orchestra in Annie, so they became friends. Jane lives here. It's good for the bill. But honestly, she was really not... She's not somebody who's meant for musical theater, in all due respect. I think she's a marvelous actress and a great comedian. And I think she's
very,
very, very, very well-appointed to television and probably motion pictures. But that character that she has created is on television, works for her, whereas being a musical theater person against types that are
Set the table with people like that. Yeah, you know,
very rough. Yeah. And she felt you could tell she felt awkward and out of place there. And it was an unusual thing. The audience was polite, I think, at best. So, I'm not saying that it was a bad performance. It just seemed out of place for her.
Well, you know, I didn't mention this to you, Michael, but was actually supposed to do that performance.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, but I had a conflict.
What is that?
I can't sing or dance.
Oh.
Oh, look at the time.
Sorry. And then
every show I do that joke.
I know you do. It's like I
should just record it and put it in the soundbite bodily.
That's right.
You know that you do it for the facial reaction.
I do. I do. Yeah. Yes.
It was good.
That's all hilarious.
Because this is on the radio. This is the only facial expression that I get. So it's the only, audience.
I said Pippin, we talked about that.
It's in its last week
coming up through November 9th, actually, at the Pantages. Fantastic evening of theater, and had a great time doing the red carpet for Broadway World TV. It was great fun. Lots of celebs, and interesting stuff.
I didn't have nearly as exciting a week.
Really?
You have a magical life, man, and I bleach my toilet. That's what we have. Did you know? No. I was thinking about horror movies, actually. I was thinking about horror movies because of today's show. And I was thinking, the big seminal horror movie for me, the one that really sort of got to me, was Psycho, of course. Psycho being the standard by which most horror movies are judged. And like a lot of people, I saw it when I was about 14. It had been out for a while. I'm not that old. But I, like a lot of people, couldn't take a shower immediately after seeing Psycho because of the shower scene. 3 days, no shower. 3 days.
Stinky.
Finally, take a shower. And being from an Italian household, you have a bucket. Every Italian family has a bucket with a mop in it in the shower because it's used that frequently that it just keeps coming. It never goes into a closet or anything. It just goes into the tub. Outside, first shower in 3 days.
The mop
thinking
is to
Psycho.
Clean the tub.
No, it's just where the family sort of keeps it because it's has to dry out. It's used that you can't put a wet mop.
Wow,
on. Clean house you grew up in, did you, Michael? Anyway, you're killing my rhythm on this.
I'm so sorry.
3 days, no shower. Finally, get in the shower. In the shower, a minute, and the mop handle falls against the shower curtain. Fall out of the shower in terror, laying naked on the bathroom floor, screaming to look up. My entire family standing at the doorway, just looking down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And just so you know.
Can you give us a little of your mother's reaction?
We're so proud of him, really. Bruno, get the car. But the thing is that, and if we have time at the end of the show, I'll say we want to get to the guests. That is not the most embarrassing story of me lying naked on the floor. I actually have
there
one
are
that's
others?
Worse than that.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
But only if we have time, because we shouldn't neglect our guests here. You want to give them
I was into that story. Yes.
Really? Yes. It was actually unnerving, Michael. It was actually a little unnerving. It was off-putting how into that story.
I'm sure it was for someone else. Yes. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, began her professional career singing in theme parks at age 16, Marriott's Great America and Disney World. At 19, she moved on to cruise ships and was Princess Cruises' youngest ever female guest star.
Last time I've ever been youngest.
Ah, there you go. You hear that voice now. At 19, she moved on, I just said that, to the youngest female star on a cruise ship. During rehearsals, as a New Yorker for Radio City Music Hall's Christmas in Los Angeles, she took a chance and auditioned for Michael Bennett's Tony Award-winning musical Dreamgirls, walking away with a part in the show. Other Broadway-bound productions followed, including To Sir With Love with Stephanie Mills and Elegies for Angels, Punks and Raging Drag Queens with Ken Page, and recently Displacement at Pasadena Playhouse. In addition to many other stage and screen credits, she can be heard as the voice of Dexter from Dexter's Lab, Coco, Cheese and Madam Foster on Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, and literally thousands of other animated shows. In 2014, she was named as one of IMDb.com's top 20 voice actresses of all time. Please welcome Candy Milo.
I'm not interrupting anything, am I?
How are you?
I am awesome.
Did you catch that? I'm not. Did that make sense?
Yes, I'm not interrupting anything, am I?
Sorry, I thought it was a stronger start.
I'm not interrupting anything, am I?
Okay, yes.
Oh,
okay.
No,
it just it was just, it was a great Paul. It was a great intro.
Yes, yeah,
it's a great
it's
intro.
It's a long bio. Who is?
Hey,
she?
Sweetie, we just read what you hold up. You hold up the cards and we read it. That's what we do.
Oh my goodness! Somewhere my ex-husband's nodding.
Really?
Yeah, right.
But those were diagrams. That's different.
So, did anyone ever tell you that you do resemble Sally Field?
I used to get that a lot more. Lately, I will tell you a very funny story. I was having, you know, right up the street, the cute little restaurant, Pagliacci's.
Yes.
I was having a little meal there, and I could see a party, a birthday party happening, and a guy walked up, and I was texting somebody, and I said, "Here we go," as I'm texting, and they said, "He won't." And I said, "Yeah, here we go." And I want you to know that he walked up, ordered something from the bar. I was sitting having a meal at the bar, and then walked back to his seat. But before he left, he touched me on the shoulder and said, "You were wonderful in Lincoln."
Really?
All I could think of was, "Thank you."
Well,
and I got to get a facelift.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Here's the thing. I would say that she looks like a young Sally Field.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
But this is coming from an authority because he dated her.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I love her so much.
When she was on Gidget and
making
the transition to the Flying Man.
And connected, connected on the dating game, is that correct?
We did, that's where we met.
Yes.
No.
I chose her as my date.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, that's why you love me.
Look at this man.
Awesome.
Isn't that awesome trivia?
Coolest thing ever.
Awesome trivia. That's great. Now, and so I take it as a compliment, but now I apparently look like Sally and Lincoln.
No.
Well, she's a very
she was
lovely
made
looking
up,
woman.
Yes. She was made
very
up.
Beautiful.
Let's not talk about Sally. Let's talk about
Let's
you.
Let's talk about
Oh, won't you?
Let's do that.
Okay.
So Scary Musical to Musical. You said this is sort of a leap back into the fray for you after so
yeah.
many voiceover years.
Yeah, I did this. I did voiceover for a long time. That's been an amazing blessing in my life. It helped me raise my daughter, who is now 23. And but the theater never leaves you. And live performing never left. It took me about 2 years to land something that was great. I was telling Paul earlier, Michael, we had met a few moments before, and I said, you know, there's only the one middle-aged broad in every show. There's yeah. like, I have one shot, and I only have a shot if Andrea Martin isn't busy. I mean, you know, if she's busy, I got a shot. If she's not busy, you know, I don't have anything. So I didn't have a lot of luck. I'm all so tiny, very dark, and so you can't put me in a chorus and have me do. I have to go in as a strong character because I'm pick outable.
Right,
like in
right,
a
right,
line,
right, right.
you're going to know it's going to go chorus girl, tiny candy, chorus girl, chorus
it's
girl.
It's the same thing that tall people have.
Yes.
I encounter all the time. You just like your sore thumb factor.
Yeah. So Scary has been absolutely. One of the greatest experiences of my life to come back in to work with an unbelievably talented cast, great production team that formulated a brilliant idea and just made it magical. And I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
And Richard is a very Richard Hochberg, the
so
writer
great.
Of the show, has been so. This is something that's been in the works for many years.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
in workshop form, and finally came to fruition here.
Yeah.
On the stage at the NoHo Arts Center with James Mellon directing.
Yes.
And Kevin Bailey co-producing with James, and you know what I find particularly lovely about this show and fun about this show is that when it starts. It starts. It's like
yeah.
a
yes.
roller coaster.
It's a train.
Strap yourself in.
It is.
End to end, it doesn't give you time
yeah.
to do anything but laugh. I mean, it's just one. My face hurts so bad at the end of the show.
Well, it's killing me.
Yeah.
Oh!
Sorry.
Oh. Where's the rim shot?
I'm sorry.
When
no,
you need it, yes, where is it? Boy?
That was so bad it didn't even warrant a cheesy rim shot. I apologize.
No, but it did. I was just smiling and laughing so hard during the thing.
And it's already, I mean, this we're not announcing this show. We're announcing the extension of the show.
Exactly.
Because it's doing that well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, for those that, for those that aren't as familiar with the it parodies, obviously, we got from the character names. One of the reasons I wanted, of course, to nod to the cast, but also the character names are a great indicator of how many movies or characters that it spoofs. Is it possible to give like a thumbnail a synopsis of it for the listeners, or do you not
want
to give that away?
Well, I think that I think a fun way to look at it is every wrong choice ever made in is what we spoof in the musical.
Okay.
And you've got from Psycho to Carrie. I am a character from Scream. I'm a hybrid between Lisa Gibbons, Nancy Grace, and Courtney Fox. And it is, as Michael said, it's a roller coaster into hell that you, and someone is killing off all the kids. And a reporting team, myself and my sidekick, Tina Louise, is set. But Tina Louise is actually Tina Christina from Mommy Dearest. So it goes from Psycho to Mommy Dearest. We are the first show, we think, in the world that has used social media as an ending to our piece. The audience every night through Twitter tweets who they think the killer is, and we have different endings.
Now, does that happen during the actual performance?
Yes, at the very end.
But it's a defined time for them to do it. It's not like during the show at any time it occurs.
No, they don't front load any tweets. It's not rigged.
Okay.
I didn't mean that. I announce in the one bit of non-scripted, anything that's brilliant about this piece Richard Hochberg wrote, in the one bit towards the end, I ad-lib and do this stuff during the tweeting. But I announce people to take out their phones, hold them high, turn them on, or they're already on, go to Twitter, and then they tweet these hashtags at Scary Musical, and then our assistant stage manager is in the back counting them up.
Wow.
And then they put on lights and we do that ending. The band is cued with the lights, backstage is cued with the lights, and you have a chance to come and see three endings.
Are there any other improvisational elements within the show itself, or is it sort of isolated? I mean, and it's not really an improvised ending, it's just a scripted ending. But
no, that's really, I mean, I have a lot of free reign, as does Matthew Tyler, who plays MacGuffin, our teacher. We take a lot of license, but you have to be careful because at an hour and a half, you don't want to be one line the miniseries.
Right.
You have to keep it so tight because equity rules. We are on an equity waiver plan, but we like to say a Broadway-bound equity musical that we adhere to those guidelines strictly. We only have an hour and a half.
No intermission.
When he says you strap in, go.
Best kind.
And
best
so
kind,
you know? I think you have to be really careful that when you ad lib and you add, even in voiceover, it's the same thing. You want to enhance. You don't want to add time. And you really can't with Richard's writing.
No, that's you can rarely embroider economical comedy.
You
because
really
can.
Because
the minute you start to embroider it, you're killing it. It's cut to such a razor's edge.
Yeah, as Richard and I like to say, because Richard will give me the subject of what I discover my character, who is lame on the phone and social media, but who thinks she's a genius. I've discovered Twitter. He'll give me a story to riff on every week. And as we have said so many times, going back and forth on Facebook private messages, too many words.
Right.
It's funnier if it's more economical, if you can do it with a look. I think the cast really gets that, and nobody drags it out. Everybody knows that time is of the essence, and that's, you know, comedy is funnier when it's faster.
Speaking of social media and the whole interweb and the worldwide net, as the kids are saying these days, we want to let people know where on the net they can find tickets to this show. We're talking, of course, about the Scary Musical to Musical. This is at the NoHo Arts Center, 11136 Magnolia Boulevard in North Hollywood. And for tickets and groups, you can call 818-508-7101, extension 6, or visit NoHoAce.com. But in addition, for further information for the play, ScaryMusicalTheMusical.com, ScaryMusicalTheMusical.com. This is extended through November 23rd, and I'm sure we will throw this information out there a number of more times before the end of the hour. But we were just talking the social media thing, and I thought it was a good time for me to interject.
And in addition, one other thing, too, that you didn't say, in addition to Richard Hochberg's brilliant writing, you know, Michael Paternostro is his other partner in crime. Pretty amazing young man he is.
Yeah, he is.
Please continue. I just want to throw out the other names because we did call out so many of the cast. Musical direction for this is Brent Crayon, and directed and choreographed by James J. Mellon.
And the cast is beautiful. Physically beautiful and so incredibly talented.
You can't keep your shirt on in this show. Every picture on the internet is just a different angle of you without a shirt on.
Well, that's most of my role. So it's fine.
If you had those abs,
I do. They're just home in a box.
Nice.
I just wear them for private parties.
Me too.
Well, it's amazing how quickly those abs come out when they tell you you're gonna be on stage with your shirt off.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In a month, by the way, you're gonna be doing photos with your shirt off. So if you want to work out,
self preservation, yes, emotional preservation. Yes.
You look fine. But if you want to work out, I got the hint, guys.
Otherwise,
we
could do it all with airbrushing if we need to do that.
Might be easier.
Well, we'll learn more about.
Yes, we will.
Here.
And his abs.
And his abs.
And his fabs, as we call them.
If for no other reason that we could tell our listeners, that's a reason to go to, at least to get them to the website, scarymusicaltomusical.com.
Right, Candy's abs.
Start there.
Kier's abs. Got it.
Oh, we've got yours, but it's a different website.
We won't talk about that one quite yet, but... toward the end of the show.
Yes.
Towards the end.
Exactly. But how much fun are you having? I mean, that's the thing.
It sounds like a blast.
You've got to be on your feet at all times, right?
It is. It's wonderful. As I like to say, being single for a long, long time, it gives me some place to be with a real reason Thursday through Sunday. I'm busy. But I love my cast. And I think there's no place I'd rather be than the NoHo Arts Theater. And we are having a blast. And you know, you said we get on the train. There is a point in the show when I look at Tina, we have been dubbed the Lucy and Ethel. There is a point that I look at her and I say, well, girl, strap in, here it goes. And we're back there going, okay, because the last 22 minutes of the show are three women that carry the entire end of the show. And I think it's a ball. I'm having a blast.
Now, Michael said that you're on stage on stage the whole time. Is that
pretty much
almost?
Okay. Yeah, I have two.
Are you sort of the host, if you will? Are you an MC of sorts?
I think I'm the thread. I think I am exposition, in case you're wondering what's happening here.
Okay.
I can, through very rapid-fire dialogue, I give you what's led us up to this point. Then I keep reminding everybody in my scenes that we're looking for a killer, without giving away anything. Maybe it's me. We go all the way through, and then at the very end, and I get to have a complete and utter meltdown on stage. And it's a lot of fun because I did see Andrea Martin and Pippin at this run. And, you know, she walked out and she was so glorious. And talk about an economical genius. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was on, she was off, she was gone. And all I could say was, when you get to be a woman of a certain age, you move left if for no other reason that they're trying to frame the leads. And then you move stage right if for no other reason that they need for something to move and they can't move the tree, so they'll move the old broad to the right, and then it's great. I am having the best time in my life, and I love my cast. I'm hoping we are extended past November 23rd.
Is that a possibility?
I'm hoping that it is. If we do well these last few weekends, attendance wise, it's difficult to build a 99 seat theater attendance simply because when you're only filling 99 seats. Your mailing list is not.
There's
tens
only
of thousands.
So many mouths right. to have word from.
Right. We're a small theater family in Los Angeles, but we are a great, giant, diverse place, and we're always looking for something like this to spread the word and to bring the world a little smaller so people come out.
But you know, for the sake of the theater, this is one of the few 99-seat theaters in town where you walk into and you feel like it's in a much larger space.
Yes. Yeah.
It's lovely. It's, you know, it's, NoHo the ceilings are very high, and mm-hmm. you know, the stage is great and well-appointed and, yeah. and the right size.
Yes, so. And, you know, it's a fantastic production. Nothing has been spared. The sets, the lighting we have.
The rake is two stories on the seats, you know.
Oh, really, it is.
Well, almost
oh, yeah.
stadium. I did a show there, but it wasn't especially successful.
What show
yeah,
was
it was
for?
My one-man production of Dreamgirls. No. But here's the thing. Here's what that has to NoHo Arts Center, and that is that it's one of the few, and I always point this out when we can, it's one of the few places in town you park once, you have a, you could walk to
right.
a dozen
right.
different restaurants,
right.
and, you know, we so many people are in the mindset in New York and Chicago, you know, oh, we'll just take a cab, we'll meet there. The NoHo Arts Center, and Sterling's upstairs at the Federal shares
right.
this too. Of course, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, you could eat right there. But that wonderful place just down Bowen Truss is excellent.
Yeah,
Pitfire Pizza is right there.
Eclectic is right there.
The Eclectic Bar and Cafe,
and then,
right?
Lighter, smaller, more fun restaurants up Lancashire, but it's all walkable. You can take the Red Line right there and walk down.
Mm-hmm. There's an artisanal sausage place on Lancashire, just south of the El Portal, mm-hmm. and it's just a little inlet, but they do homemade sausages and they do a Bavarian
yeah.
pretzel.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Okay,
it's really good, and they have all these craft beers and things. I've got to find the name of it to give
new
it. A,
that's
to
where
go.
I'm going before yeah. the show tonight.
Have here the duck, go. The duck, or the alligator sausage. Either duck or alligator sausage. Have
oh
the
my
big
God.
Bavarian pretzel and the well, you can't have it before the show, but they do a beer that's aged in bourbon barrels.
I love
wow.
it.
Killer.
Well,
wow.
I could all do right. it before the show, but they'd be seeing a completely different show. They would be seeing my audition for Pippin.
Michael, I'm going to cut the arts calendar a little short. I'm not going to do mine.
All
I would
right.
like you just to do yours, because I don't want to shortchange you.
Yes, we've gone long here on this.
If you would just do yours, and then we'll move on and
absolutely.
Continue with our guests here.
So, musicals is what we're talking about today, right. ladies and gentlemen. Doma Theater Company is back with another Broadway smash hit musical, Young Frankenstein, the hilarious musical stage adaptation of the 1974 cult film by the Tony Award-winning team of Mel Brooks and Thomas Meehan. It is complete with show-stopping numbers, tap-dancing monsters, innuendo, and outrageous accents. Dr. Friedrich Frankenstein has inherited his grandfather's Transylvanian castle and laboratory. There he reanimates a monster and turns the village on its head when his creation turns out to have a mind of his own. Helmed by director Marco Gomez and musical director Chris Raymond, the duo behind last year's LA Weekly and Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award-winning production of Dreamgirls, the one you weren't in.
Yes, the successful one, yes.
Young Frankenstein features all of the favorite scenes from the film, plus show-stopping numbers like Transylvania Mania. Together again, that he was my boyfriend, and putting on the Ritz. Young Frankenstein runs through November 16th at the Met Theater, 1089 North Oxford Avenue, Los Angeles, California. For reservations, call 323-802-4990 or visit their website at domatheater.com.
And Doma Theater, rather, has the R-E spelling.
The
affected way that it should be.
I'm scared.
Oh, my God, he's back.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God, yes.
Our next guest recently got back to L.A. after traveling all over Asia and Australia on the international tour of Barbie Live. I have to hear about that. That's
I'll tell you.
although it was a great experience, he's happy to be back and working on a project a little closer to home. Proud member of the sketch comedy group New Feelings Time. Is that correct? New Feelings
yes.
Time?
Yes.
That had a video go viral on YouTube, get 3 million hits last year. 3 million hits.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it was
also
fun.
I'm sorry, good.
Oh, it was fun.
Oh.
Keep telling me
no,
about
it. No, it sounds okay.
This is great.
And he's also delighted to play the dumb jock that he never got to be in high school. Please welcome Kier Kierkegaard is with us. I'm going to give him a little thing. I was going to play the applause, but we're going to try something a little different.
Oh.
Yeah.
Get down. There you go. Yeah.
Where's that music from? Go ahead. Is it? I always ask people of your age. Some say CSI because that's what it, the TV show. But
it
I
is from CSI.
I want to hear the Who.
It's the Who. As featured on CSI.
As featured on CSI.
Yeah.
So okay, before we get to Scary Musical to Musical,
take off your shirt,
Barbie. Barbie Live in Asia. What was Asia and Australia? You said.
Yeah.
And what was that? What was that experience like? Were you just? I'm trying to read into your bio a little bit. I probably shouldn't be. I mean, it was probably a hoot, but was it just not being so far from home for so long?
Well, no, it was great. I mean, until I booked that, I had never even, like, wanted to travel anywhere.
Really? You're from Denver, right?
Yeah, I'm from Denver, and I've, you know, only been to a handful of states. Like, I didn't have, like, the travel bug at all. So, and it was crazy because they had, like, three different auditions, and the first guy that booked it, like, in January, we started rehearsals in June. First guy that booked it, he couldn't do it because he has equity. Then they had another audition, and then that kid that booked my role then booked the Mamma Mia tour. So he left, and then 10 days before the rehearsal started, they had an audition for me. I booked it. I got the audition Friday, the email Saturday, and they told me Sunday they needed an answer. And at that point, it was, okay, you're going to be gone for a year. You're not coming home.
Jeez,
I was like,
wow.
Oh, and they're like, but we need an answer now.
And
like,
from that day, from that day of that answer, how long did you have before you were going to be on the road?
Like 2 months. That was the...
Okay, so a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of time, because we did all the rehearsals in L.A.
2 months to ponder a decision you had to make in one day.
Right. But we did all the rehearsals in L.A., and then we did two preview shows in L.A. At the Nate Holden Theater.
Okay.
It was great, but the dressing room for all the dancers, they was like on the other side of the building. So when we had to do big costume changes, we'd be like, okay, pause the show for a second. You know, stage manager came on. We stopped the show for 10 minutes so everyone can go change. And then we just pick the show right back up. And we didn't have all of our costume pieces yet, so sometimes the scene would just be like,
this is
what they will be wearing eventually, and next scene, here we go.
Not as fluid as Scary Musical to Musical.
Not quite. No, but it was a great show. I mean, it's a... It was a kid's show about Barbie.
Now,
was,
were you Ken or were
no,
you?
No, I played Damon.
He was actually Barbie, which was how progressive this particular production.
I have the legs for Barbie. no, it was Danny Two-Step Divine. I was the show choreographer for the show within the show.
Okay.
So, thank goodness all I had to do was like stand and clap a few times and tell the dancers what to do. Because they were all professional New York, L.A. dancers.
Oh, okay. And yet you're the choreographer.
And I'm just like, yeah, good job, guys. Keep it going. A little tighter.
But you're a dancer.
Not that dancer.
Well, you're Well, maybe not.
I'm a mover.
A mover, but you move very well.
He's an actor who moves.
Thank you. Scary. I'm an actor who moves.
Who moves
Scary
well.
Musical.
You're very.
It's a lot of fun. Barbie was a lot of ballet.
Come on, Michael, with an upper body like that, he could be an amputee. You wouldn't have noticed.
But no, so Barbie, it was great. We went all over places that so many now that I'm like, I'd love to go back. You know, it's
Who was your Barbie?
Chelsea Ray Bernier.
Chelsea Ray Bernier.
Wow.
Was in this past year.
That's a family from New Rochelle.
LA's
right
Next
there.
Great Stage.
Was she really?
Oh, yes. Really?
Really?
Yeah, she's actually she's coming to see the show tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She got a whole group of people from Barbie together, so I got the Barbie kids coming tonight.
Oh, cool.
I'm excited.
So speaking of tonight, that was your role in the Barbie. Tell us a little about who you play in this one. Let's see, the dumb jock guy. Is he as complex as he sounds?
Yeah, exactly. Very complex. He has two things on his mind.
Yeah.
Usually food, and then who he can get laid with, pretty much. And
that was very diplomatic.
Yeah.
You phrased that
I was like,
well.
How do I say this?
It's okay. We're not really FAA regulated because it's the internet, but we still like to watch it, though.
Well, we have a rating.
We have a rating.
Yes.
We have a rating on iTunes.
Yeah. We don't really pay attention to it, but Michael gets very put out
like
when I say
mouth.
Bad words.
No potty mouth.
Yes, but with two Italians in the room, it's a high likelihood someone's going to say
gonna
shit
leech.
Before the end of the show.
So, no, but Jason...
Look, he's shaking my head at me like a scolding older brother.
It's okay. Where's that mop when you need
Where's that mop to clean up your mouth?
Well, I got my mom listening, so I'm...
Oh, is your mom listening?
Yeah.
And is she still in Denver?
Yes, her and my brother are out getting lunch in Denver today.
Yeah. Now, have they been out to see this, or do they have plans to come out?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
Yeah, mom came out opening weekend.
Oh,
She's
wonderful.
She's the show mom.
She is the show mom.
We love
she
her.
Brought cookies. She
Did she actually bring cookies?
Yes, she did.
That's wonderful.
She did. Yeah, she owns a bakery. Yeah. So, you know, it was fantastic.
What part of Denver do you live in?
I live just outside Denver in Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very
nice there.
So it's a nice area.
I'm poking fun at it, but having that support and having family that will come out and see something like that in this business that we're in, where it's so, you know, it's keeping up the tenacity to stay at it. You're very early in your journey and very, very successful. And I have no doubt that that's going to continue. But having the family there is just, it's huge.
Oh, it's
my mother came out to my show, but didn't bring cookies, brought scotch, but she was there. And that's the important
thing. And that was for her, wasn't it?
Yes, it was for her. Well, she's not going to watch the show.
Well, yeah, it's great. I've never had the parents that are asking me when I'm going to get a real job. You know, I've never had them do anything other than just be like, all right, great. Let's figure out how to get this done.
You get something going and they, you know, hire a crop duster to drop leaflets to let everyone know that you're doing this stuff.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It was
very expensive for the Asia tour.
Yeah. But I found that when I was in college, it was just, I was about, a lot of the kids that I went to school with had family nearby. And it always astounded me that, you know, family within 45 minutes, within an hour, and you're doing a show in college where it's only like two weekends and their families, you know, mm-hmm. parents would not come to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I mean, how do you not? I don't understand that mindset. I don't understand that at all. But apparently it's out there a great deal.
But yeah, you know? So they came.
There's a lot of nodding going on in this room. The nodding is furiously loud on the radio.
Well, I think she was agreeing with something that you were saying.
No, yes. there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it, unfortunately. Yeah. Anyone else? Any siblings?
Yeah, two brothers, two older brothers. Mm-hmm. They both came out as well.
Now, are they musically inclined?
No. I'm the only one in the family that does the theater stuff.
Yeah.
But yet they came out here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they supported as well. The oldest brother is an art teacher, a middle school art teacher. And then the middle brother is a genius. He's like a engineer of some sorts for Raytheon. So the kind of I don't ever even know what he does. Because if I figured out, he'd probably have to kill me.
Yeah.
So I don't ask, and I just say, how's work? He goes, it was all right.
I'm like that with my wife. My wife is just brilliantly smart, and she just starts talking to people, and I just sit in the back and go, I do plays.
Right?
I like to do play. Don't hold up anything shiny when you're talking to me.
Well, in school, the only reason I tried to get good grades was so I could compete with him. But he actually read the textbooks all the way. I just memorized it.
They'll always get those that read the books will always get you.
An hour before the test, I'm just memorizing my notes. I'm like, all right, we're good. And he's sitting there weeks prepping and actually memorizing.
Trying to understand.
Understanding, that's good. Right. I take the test, I forget.
Kenny, do you have any siblings?
I do.
Any performers?
No.
No?
I'm the only one. My father was a performer.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned before the show.
I'm the only one.
Tell Michael who your father is. This is fascinating.
The original call for Philip Morris Boy. John.
Really?
Yeah. And
oh, my gosh.
In the 30s, he was managed by, I knew it was going to go out of my head, the impresario, Gus Edwards. And they did it live in New York. And he is the actual photo. But by the time television, he would be 100 if he was alive.
Yeah.
And by the time television was invented, he was a grown man of normal size. So they got someone small that could do the voice. But he was the original doing it live. Isn't that wild?
A lot of people don't realize how the Philip Morris thing was. Lucy, obviously, but so many of the first television shows, those were Philip Morris, Chesterfield, the primary sponsors of all that.
Exactly.
Of course, you know, Keir, you remember from your childhood. I'm
Keir. Back in 86.
How did you get the job in Scary Musical?
Oh.
It was just an audition. My agent, it was the first thing he sent me out on.
But didn't somebody see you in something first?
Oh, yeah, Richard actually saw me in my showcase 4 years ago.
From
college. I went to the University of Northern Colorado.
Uh-huh.
He saved my headshot, and the big note he wrote on the back was hot. So that's what he remembered, so that's good at least.
Naturally, that's what he remembered.
But yeah, he told me that at the audition. He's like, I still have your headshot from 4 years ago. I was like, what? Because they workshopped Scary at my college the year after I left. So I was familiar with the show. So then when I went in for it, it was at least something familiar. But yeah, totally crazy.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that, and we had people on for Breakdown Services the other day, a couple of months ago, actually. It was farther back than I think. But they were talking about the importance of the showcase. You know, everyone likes to, mm-hmm. you know, blow them off and say that they're not. But, you know, I've booked things from people. I have an audition at Boston Court on Monday from a casting director from 3 years ago saw me do something. They remember.
It's amazing.
Of course, in the back of my headshot, it just said not instead of on. But the intention was there. Yeah.
And you One-man show of dream girls, question mark?
Yes, not.
And you're a good-looking young man, and the girl
Thank you, Michael. Oh, you were talking to him. I'm sorry.
The young lady that plays opposite you is so beautiful.
Yeah, Jane, she's a lovely girl. She's great.
Yes. She kind of reminds me of a cross between Elizabeth, the young lady that did that motion picture. She used to be on Saved by the Bell. Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, yes.
And Rachel York.
Yes, do you see it? Yes, I do.
We would call that a combo. My friends and I call that a combo pack.
Yes,
when you see someone like that, you say combo pack: Elizabeth Berkley, Rachel York.
Yes, she looks like Elizabeth Berkley.
I get that quite a bit. I have a combo pack of my own, but we don't.
You just look at her.
John Turturro and
Grimace from McDonaldland. John Turturro and Steve Buscemi. I actually went to college with Turturro. He was a couple of years before me.
That's
hilarious.
We went to the same school together.
Yeah. It was the, he was actually, I wasn't there at the same time.
Well, they used to call it a reformatory, am I right?
Reformatory, yeah. Okay, so good.
Or school.
Michael, would you throw the information out there again about this show?
The musical has extended, ladies and gentlemen. How lucky are you to see this through Sunday? Yeah, do that. Let's do that. Sunday, November 23rd now. And it has performances on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. It's at the beautiful NoHo Arts Center, which is on Magnolia Boulevard in North Hollywood. Tickets are a simple, easy $35 and well worth it because you are getting a full-blown musical band. Hot band, I might add.
Yeah, it's a hot band.
So good.
Such a great pop score. And tickets are simple. Simply call 818-508-7101, extension 6, or visit their website at nohoace.com. And for further information on the play, you can go to that website, scarymusicalthemusical.com.
And
that's a fun one.
There are, I believe that, I don't know if you can get there directly from there, but I'm sure through YouTube. ScaryMusicalTheMusical.com has a wonderful YouTube video.
I sent that to you. Yeah.
You sent it to me, but I'm assuming it's linkable through the website as well.
Yeah, through everything.
But it's in that little thing just encapsulates the level of energy and the frenetic quality. And you know what? You're talking about a wonderful, both of you have talked about this wonderful comedic hybrid of things, which is comic economy, but still being perfectly okay to like chew up scenery left and right. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things, it's almost Python-esque. I describe this to people as it's a smart silly. It's a silliness. It's a crazy silliness.
Exactly.
But there's real thought behind that presentation. And it's one of those things that is so rarely done this well. And obviously, if you're extending, it's being done very well.
Keir, is this something you want to do for the rest of your life? You want to be an actor?
Yeah.
No, this musical.
This musical.
Just this one for the rest of your life.
I don't know if I want to stay in this good of shape forever. It's a pain.
I want to have a donut once in a while.
I've been slacking the last 2 weeks.
I can see, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't want to say anything.
You should be so.
Let yourself go.
No,
seriously. Do you want to stay in musical theater? Do you want to do it all? Television, film, musical theater?
Well, it's crazy. I got out of school and kind of burnt myself out on musical theater. So when I first moved out here, I ignored musical theater for 2 years.
It was just one after the other.
I picked up the MT major my last 2 years. So I did the 4-year program in 2 years.
Okay.
And kind of just was like, I was done with it because I thought, oh, it's LA. They're going to love me for TV film. I'll be rich and famous in a week. And of course, once you learn what the world is like out here and you learn that it's not that easy, I started doing auditions for musical theater again and then just re-fell in love with it. Like, everything I was auditioning for, I either booked or I got callbacks.
He's so talented.
It sounds like you just
needed
some downtime.
And right now, I'm perfectly happy just doing musical theater. I love it. And TV film, of course, if it came knocking, great. But I'm so happy with the musical theater right now. It's something about being on stage is a feeling that you won't get anywhere else.
That immediacy.
It's amazing. Right.
That immediacy.
The rapport with the audience and everything. Yeah.
That has to be especially big for you because with big, you like how well-spoken I am? It has to be important. Show talk. talk people in Audience House. No, but you're doing voiceover stuff for so long, and that's a solitary endeavor.
Oh, please. You know. I live alone. I drive alone. I record alone. How did the other person do it so I know how to say my line?
Right.
Yeah.
But to have that, it's a
world. To have a cast that's delicious, to have a role that's fantastic, and to be live every night knowing if we got them with the first couple of jokes, knowing if they're in our corner. Our audiences range from young to old to theater savvy to just happened upon it. There's something about that. And for me, it's my agents, my voiceover agents came out to support us. 15 people came out with them. They loved it. And they said, you have never looked happier in your life. You look younger. And I said, I'm having the time of my life.
That's wonderful.
It's a great blessing. This broad is very exciting. I'm just saying.
Well, it's like it sounds it. Both of you sound
real
like you're just
question,
having a ball.
Though, when you, the interesting thing too, and Paul can chime in on this too. When you're doing a show and it's a Friday night and it might be different from the Thursday night performance, and you sense that right off the bat, right? That you said you know in the first few minutes, the first few jokes that are flying out there, and it doesn't resonate quite the same way. What do you do? What do you do, Kier?
I don't even know if I have time in the first 20 minutes to even think about that. I know for me, because my first 20 minutes is like Candy's last 20, where it's like, it's nonstop. I have to do it with a lot of energy, because otherwise I'm not making it to my next spot.
So you just choose to play the role as you always do.
I just go through it, and I figure if I... if I try to push, it's probably not going to come off as well anyway.
I would think.
That was exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, I don't know what I do. I just know what I don't do, and that is I don't push.
Right.
Yep.
Because when the minute audience senses that push, they go, desperate, and you lose them even further. Yeah.
We will say that every person on the planet that is in that audience paid to be there. They deserve the show that they paid to see.
Yeah.
And our best audience ever was a Sunday afternoon with 22 people.
Yeah.
And they stood up at the end. Mm-hmm. They were howling. And we walked out, and one of the cast members went, 20 people, let's just get through it. And I thought, and every one of those 20 people paid.
Yeah.
And you owe it to them, because we took their money. Mm-hmm. We are the cast. Put on your show.
Yeah.
Put on your show.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we do. And I'm the cheerleader back there going, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear how tired you are.
You don't strike me as a cheerleader type
at
all.
No, you're trying to say that.
All
Michael,
right.
That show that you did, that you had worked on, the Disney production.
The Walt Disney show?
It was about
his
life.
Story of his life, yes.
Story of his life.
When You Wish.
When You Wish. I was there at a show that there was an internet glitch, and it was not listed in the box office, mm-hmm. because we got tickets through this. And that was a big theater at UCLA.
Yeah.
And there were about 30 people there, and it was exactly that. They burned it down. Standing ovation, 30 people. Because they delivered, even though it was a smaller house, and that's what it's about. We don't have much time, but
you
were just
going to
mention it. Your onstage performance mishap, something that happened during performance that's embarrassing or funny or both, hopefully where no one was injured. But either one of you can start. You got anything in your – you want to start here?
I'll just do something from Barbie. So I – that's a common statement for me. Oh, Barbie. I as part of my character, I also used a puppet named Boris. And so the puppet was on the right hand. I controlled his arm with my left hand. And I was on stage, and I did a gesture with his left hand, and the left arm fell out of the socket. So now I've got Boris up here at a kid's show, holding his left arm like 2 feet away from his body. And I still had a whole scene to do where I'm flying around the stage. I'm supposed to be pulling his wings and operating it. So I'm like holding onto his shoulder, flicking his hand around with my pinky.
Just like, do the kids freak out? Because that would have
no
been
idea.
Just wonderful.
Boris
has been injured,
I was
mommy.
Like, what do I even do? I have no idea. He's got no arm. I'm throwing his arm around my left hand.
Thinking on your feet. Thinking on your feet. Yeah. Or thinking right. without an arm. I
there you go. Yeah.
1976. Auditioning for Marriott's Great America. My mother took me. I'm 15. I don't drive. And I am in there at Marriott's Great America. They are playing my song, and I decided a very good Broadway song for me to sing would be I Am Woman by Helen Reddy, because you wonder why girls sing Britney Spears, that who was on the radio, and we could only get sheet music in San Jose from one place, and they had that, and it was in my key, so I'm singing, I am woman, hear me roar, and the piano broke, and they said, okay, thank you, and I said, see me standing on the floor, and I just kept going and going, and then I did Ethel Merman, and then I got down like, Swanee, how I love you, and my mother is sitting in the back and stands up and just taps me on the shoulder like, and there's an Italian expression, Induma, meaning let's go, and she just tapped me and said, Induma, and I said, I'm not done, mama, I got a big finish. And I booked the show, but I just kept going because I thought, I'm not dreaming about this tonight.
Because it's hard to find a 16-year-old Al Jolson.
15-year-old, 15 and a half, and they hired me and waited until I was 16 to put me in the part.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Yes. Brilliant. Just that is know. That is earning the role.
Thank That's you. Hilarious. My Broadway song, I Am Woman.
Here, and with that lovely sort of, you know, you and me against the world.
We had Miss Helen Reddy on this
we
show.
We did have Miss Helen Reddy.
Love
she
her.
Was, she was on the phone, but she was on
she
the
was, but she was
angry. That, she was angry with me.
And you baby.
She got mad at me.
She
yeah.
did?
Because I did not refer to her as Helen Reddy. I said Miss Helen Reddy.
Oh.
And the fact that there was any sort of, oh, she just yes. said Helen Reddy. I was like, oh, okay. Sorry.
She's made her
little
decision.
Snarky.
Now.
Sorry.
That was right in her comeback, you know.
No, I know. I know.
Right at the comeback.
And she was lovely. I should say. She was
and she
not
is
sorry.
Lovely.
She is lovely. What a hoot this was.
Yes, thank you.
50 minutes
thank
has
so
never gone
much.
Faster,
yeah.
I can say. That just.
Scary Musical, NoHo Arts Center, now through the 26th of November.
And it's Scary Musical, themusical.com is the website. And tickets 818-508-7101, extension 6. And that's for tickets and groups. And. Park once, get there early, eat somewhere nearby, you got your holy
yeah, and one other shout out to 3D Theatrical's brilliant, beautiful production of Ragtime the Musical, ooh. Opening this weekend, November 1st through the 9th at the Redondo Beach.
Oh, they've Arts moved Center. To the Redondo Beach.
They make that move. Fullerton, yeah, we opened in Fullerton, and now we're opening on Saturday all at right. Redondo Beach. Yeah,
a pleasure, folks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you both
so much.
See you soon. Happy Halloween.
Thank
Happy Halloween,
you. Thank
Michael.
You. You
see you next week.
Out
all right, Paul. On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.